This is Health First with Dave Fuller, available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
Well, we're back. We're talking with Dr. Jonathan Beattie. He is a naturopathic physician out of Ontario. And Dr. Beattie, you know, before the break, we were talking about antidepressants. But I want to ask you about blood pressure medication, because that is one of the medications that seems to have a fair amount of side effects as well.
Oh, yeah. Those medications run into a number of problems, and it's because there's a wide variety of them. There's a number of different mechanisms that by which those medications work, from sort of increasing the amount of fluid that you will urinate out, which are what are called the diuretics. And in those cases, oftentimes people will tend to lose a lot of minerals because the drug has its action on the kidneys, which are supposed to prevent excessive mineral loss. And actually, part of the way in which some of them can work is to actually induce mineral loss in the kidneys. So people start to run into deficiencies of some of the, ironically, important minerals to regulate their blood pressure, which are things like potassium and magnesium. So we find that happens with a lot of the diuretics. And then, of course, we can also get into what are called the ACE inhibitors. There's a class of medications known as beta blockers. So these are drugs that will end in, the ACE inhibitors tend to end in the letters PRIL, and the beta blockers end in the letters OLOL. So when you start to, you know, look at your medications, these are easy ways to figure out what class of medications you're taking. But they all tend to interfere with, again, a variety of B vitamins. And in some cases, they'll also interfere with CoQ10. And CoQ10 is probably my favorite heart nutrient. And actually, long before we knew of a lot of different things, like, for instance, even before we knew that cholesterol was associated with heart disease, what we have seen is that low CoQ10 is actually one of the major risk factors for having a heart attack. And so any of these heart medications that impair CoQ10 function, they can actually be making the heart disease worse. So although they're controlling the blood pressure, they're actually making the cardiovascular function worse and can actually be exaggerating the disease, which is why a lot of the times people start with one medication for blood pressure, and over time they end up on two, three, or four medications to try and keep their blood pressure in check.
Do we see a lot of doctors prescribing CoQ10 now along with the beta blockers?
I wouldn't say I see a lot of doctors doing this. I do see every once in a while, I don't want to pick favorites, but I would say my favorite doctors are the ones that are prescribing things like CoQ10 in addition to the medications to try and, again, help manage some of the side effects that we see. And also to really work on, you know, the potential cause as to why the person's blood pressure has gone up in the first place. And again, my sort of opinion there is that most medications, although they will help control blood pressure, none of them are getting at why the person's blood pressure has risen in the first place, which is usually some inability to transport oxygen. So if the blood becomes less efficient at carrying oxygen, well, then the body just has to move more blood. And in that case, the way we increase the movement of blood and oxygen is by increasing the pressure. So if you can actually increase the efficiency of the system, you can eventually decrease the need for the medications.
So as a naturopathic physician, what do you recommend to people when they come in with high blood pressure?
Well, as you alluded to, coenzyme Q10 has got to be one of my absolute favorites. It's got a very, very large safety profile with it. It's been very well studied, and it makes the heart a more efficient pump. So what it basically does is it improves something we call cardiac output, which is it makes the heart beat slower and stronger, delivering more oxygen while using less. And so the idea there is that the heart is actually, because it has to fuel itself, becomes much better. I'll head back to my bias of fish oil again. And again, just because we see a lot of trouble with heart disease comes down to the hardening of the arteries, and they can actually be softened up again via fish oil, which also helps to control cholesterol, which is another concern people will have. And my other major nutrient that I like is magnesium. And a big reason I like that is it although calcium is needed for bone health, if you don't have adequate magnesium, and magnesium is considered the number one mineral deficiency in Canada. It's not calcium is what a lot of people believe. It's actually magnesium. And magnesium is needed to allow the blood vessels, the arteries, the veins to relax. And so if somebody has hypertension, there's too much, the arteries are too tense, it can sometimes be a lack of magnesium. So they don't actually have the mineral required to allow their circulatory system to relax and allow the pressure to go into the normal range.
Dr. Beatty, you talked about inflammation a couple times now. What are the general causes of inflammation, for people? And what are some of the, you talked about fish oil, but what are some of the other things that they can use to reduce inflammation in their body?
Some of the major causes of inflammation, we can get into lifestyle, so it can be poor diet. Others are your traumatic causes, which would be, being in a car accident, having a fall, something along those lines. Those can be major causes of inflammation. Pollution causes an inflammatory response in the body. And ironically, certain medications also cause inflammation. So, there's, for instance, ASA is a medication that, although it's used as an anti-inflammatory, it actually creates a low level of inflammation in the intestine. So it may be, curing the inflammation or not even curing the inflammation. It might be blocking the inflammation we see in, say, the knuckles of the hand. So if somebody's arthritic, it's lowering the inflammation in the knuckles, decreasing the pain they have, but it's actually increasing the inflammation in the intestine. So in some cases, medications are actually the cause of the inflammation. But other things I use to manage that, I'm a very, very big fan of enzymes. Part of the reason I like anti-inflammatory enzymes is their safety profile. So as I alluded to, two of your most popular anti-inflammatory medications, one is a major cause of death in North America. It usually kills over 5,000 people a year. That's your ASA. And the other one that you'll see is your acetaminophen, which is the number one cause of liver failure. So those are the two things most people are using to help manage inflammation. The latter, acetaminophen, technically actually isn't even an anti-inflammatory, although that's how it's often used. So what I like are enzymes. I'm a big fan of one called Serratia peptase. And the reason behind that is it's been shown to be a very effective anti-inflammatory, as effective as many prescription anti-inflammatories, but without all the nasty side effects. And so because of that, it's able to actually get at the inflammation as effectively as the drugs, but without carrying any of the side effects with it.
Who makes that product?
Well, there's a number of brands on the market. Prairie Naturals, who I help formulate for, they have a number of versions of the product. But there are other brands on the market as well that do carry it. Mm-hmm. The real key with it, though, is you do want to find one that has been enteric coated. And that's a process by which we protect the enzyme from the stomach acid, because although it's a very effective supplement or enzyme, it can be actually degraded and destroyed if it has not been enteric coated. So the stomach acid can actually break it down and make it less effective. So there's a number of brands out there. As I alluded to, Prairie Naturals is one, and definitely making sure that when you pick one up that it has been enteric coated.
And Dr. Beatty, are there certain times when you get a better benefit from taking enzymes?
For instance, Serratia peptase, you'll notice on the packaging for them that they'll always be, the instruction will always be to take it on an empty stomach first thing in the morning. And again, that is to prevent the utilization of this enzyme to break down your food. What you want it to be doing is breaking down pain and inflammatory proteins, not breaking down the protein in the meal you just ate. So in order to get maximum effect out of anti-inflammatory enzymes, The optimum time is actually to take them away from food. By taking them with food, what they'll do is they will actually be used to, you know, help digest and absorb your food, which is beneficial in its own right, but not necessarily the intended outcome that one's looking for.
And have you seen people get different results than they might using ASA or a Tylenol product?
Oh, absolutely. I've got a lot of my clientele take Serratia Pep Days and are, you know, they're full converts, as I say, which is when they have, you know, even if they get a bump at a soccer game or something, the first thing they tend to reach for is Serratia Pep Days over their traditional anti-inflammatories. And a lot of the reason for that is, you know, the effect is there, but they don't get the upset stomach for it. And what most of them find is that their healing actually is faster as well. So it's not just about, you know, they see past the idea of just pain management. Especially my, I've got a few athletes that are, you know, high, or a few patients that are high-end athletes, semi and professional athletes, and most of them use it because they don't have to worry about, you know, passing drug tests. They don't have to worry about any of that stuff when they use the enzymes. But it also, what most of them have found is it improves their performance more so than when they take the generic anti-inflammatories, which just block the pain.
Can you overdo it with enzymes?
Yeah, you could. Most people will not. So if you do take way, way, way too many enzymes, you can cause a little disruption to your digestive system because the way these enzymes work is they actually help to break down dead and necrotic tissue. They actually help to break down some of the proteins that are used as signaling molecules. So if you interfere with those processes too much, you could cause harm. That being said, the average person is not going to swallow that quantity of enzymes in one sitting. The risk of harm is much, much, much lower, but it does exist. The big one is if somebody's to be using Serratia Pep Days, that they should not use it while they have an upper respiratory tract infection like bronchitis, as it can sometimes interfere. It thins the mucus, so it sometimes makes it harder to cough up and could lead to the development of pneumonia.
Dr. Beattie, we're pretty much out of time, but I just want you to maybe give some websites where people can get some more information on some of the products you've been talking about today or some of the information.
Yeah, so as I alluded to, so prairienaturals.ca has, links to some of the different products that we spoke about today, ways to, of course, you know, re-inoculate yourself once you've created a nutrient deficiency through medication. And then, a variety of your local pharmacies will often have drug nutrient checkers, but the global one I use is mytaven.com, just because I found that I like the fact that it's referenced and it allows you to input your whole list of medications, because that can be just a really useful tool for having open and informed dialogue with your physician.
Dr. Beattie, thanks for coming on the show today. It's been great having you.
Thanks again for having me. It's always a pleasure chatting with you.
That's it for this week's show. I want to thank Garrett Perry, our producer, Rich Fair, our other producer, and thank you for listening.